journey to Advent, we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you'll be with us. You will motivate us. You will encourage us. You will, you know, make us excited to be alive, and more than that, to be reminded that we have a Savior who loved us so much that he would give his life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so today we want to remember you again and know that you came into this world to die for us. And so, Lord, speak to us again. Speak a word of hope on this first Sunday of Advent, which is a Sunday of hope, that we need hope in this world, hope to live, hope to go for it, our daily lives. Speak, God. And only God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Wondering what was happening. And so here today, the first day of Advent, my sermon title is Wait and Watch for the Light. Wait and watch for the light of Christ. And we all know this is a season where we are getting ready for the coming of the Christ child. We are reminded that Christ came into the world. And it is church, and church can stay the same way it always stays. I just want to come in to get my little bit of Jesus and leave. Right? I just want to come in to get a little bit of thing and leave. There is no excitement. There is no anticipation. There is no, oh, this is a wonderful, great thing. We come in, we get a little bit, the music is great, you hear the word, there are wonderful things happening, and there is nothing, it doesn't matter. Just I come in, I slip in, and I take my few minutes, and I slip out, and Lord knows if something is different, people will wonder, why make it different? Well, I say, since we could take our houses and fill them up with lights and run to the stores and make it different, and do all this stuff, and we get excited. People are lining up for their lights outside, and what they're going to put, and who's going to come from the, whatever is going to, there's Santa Claus on the roof, and the reindeer's on the roof, and people are climbing up, and it all got to be beautiful. And the biggest tree, now there's black trees. You know there are black trees now. Black Christmas tree, I don't mean because I'm black that they're making it as black people. That's not what I mean. It is a certain form of tree that is grown. You got to read the news and read the newspaper. You'll see it. I'm not making it up. And there's white trees and there's black trees, not black people trees. It's grown somewhere. Because we do regular trees like everybody else, right? And now then everybody's getting all excited and it's all about that. Yet in the church, we just want it to be dead and mundane. Listen, there's enough time in the grave to be dead. There's enough time until Christ returns. There's enough time to be silent and dead in the grave. Trust me. I go to cemeteries more than you. And I don't see anybody partying unless you're living people. So there's enough time. This is the time in the church where at always when we come, we should be excited and rejoicing because our Redeemer lives and the hope we have in knowing that our Redeemer lives. And so we want to make our church exciting. We want to show a glimpse of the light. That's why we have put up the candle. We have been working all week. And you know what? We're doing it so heaven can see. You can see it physically with your eyes, but we are doing it to glorify God. Amen. To let him know that we know that he lives. Amen. When he looks down, we want him to say, yes, there's a group of people who are rejoicing in me. We don't have to get any awards. We don't have to get any clap. We don't have to get any thank you. We only want to hear the well done. So we're doing it, and we've lit the candle. We're beginning to light the candles to usher in slowly that the light of Christ is coming into the world. That's the plan. That's why we didn't light all of them in case someone is asking. So because some folks get hung up on, why did they do this? Well, I said, be surprised. As long as we haven't sold the church from under you, you came in, they said the church is now owned by somebody else. Be surprised. We're going to take care of it because we love it. And so I may show some pictures on Facebook when I get a chance to show who was up on the ladders. And here to get the banners up, or to get these cloth. I've been shopping all over. This has been water to get those materials and different materials. It has been a month of me driving them, everybody crazy. Missy is gone today because she's weary. And Celeste had to make bows until her fingers were. So they all look at me, and Missy says, "Don't think anymore, Pastor. If you think, we have work. Just don't think. Leave the thinking alone." And so we... Yeah, praise God. To God be the glory. And to all who have helped, they know who they are. And we had Zamzam upon the lad and poor Ron. God bless him. An angel. And we were holding the ladder, not holding the ladder. And even Hector came. And what a blessing to have Hector. Because he is a contractor. So he could go up these things like, I'm trying to make him a member of our church. So we wanted to bring the excitement. And you don't see what we're going to do on Christmas Eve if we so live to see it. And we do believe by God's grace. And so I want to begin. So thank you, everybody, and who are on the committee, and I know that who came together, and even Kathy was away. She picked out the, you know, whatever. And now we have the live flowers in the church. We're going to have live flowers every week just to do something different. If you're fixing up your house, let's fix up the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? This is where we come to rejoice in our Savior. All right? And so, I want to start with this reflection: when everything becomes merely. Virginia Owens, in her book, "And the Trees Clap Their Hands," suggests that we lose the wonder of it all because along the way, everything becomes merely. Things are merely stars, merely sunset, merely rains, merely flowers, merely mountains. It's just that, right? It becomes merely. Their connection with God's creation is lost. During this Advent season, many things are just merely. It becomes merely Bethlehem, a stable, a birth. We have no feeling of the wonder or mystery. The wonder of Christ coming into the world. That is what familiarity can do to us over the years. I don't ever want to be bored with the religion, with my faith in Jesus Christ. And when I get bored, I got to do something. So when you see them hanging things, it's because I'm getting bored. I'm saying, let's do something. Let's do something exciting. Owens goes on to say that it is this merely quality of things that leads to crime. It is merely a thing, I'll take it. It is merely an object, I'll destroy it. It is this merely quality of things and life that leads to war. We just lost merely a few thousand men and women, but it will be worth it. Within the Advent narrative, nothing is merely. Things are not merely things, but are part of God's grand design. Common things such as motherhood, a birth, a child, now have new meaning. This is not merely the world, but a world that is charged with beauty and grandeur of God's design. It is a world so loved by God that God gave his only son, who is so great. What is so great about Advent, this season, is that everything appears charged with the beauty and the grandeur of God. That is what it is. God became flesh so that we could see the face of God. Max Lucado said in this Bible study we are doing, beautifully done, because he takes a modern concept and he puts it together. What? We could see the face of God. God became human so we could see his face. And he came into the earth so that we will know that Max Lucado says that we will know that he gets us, that he understands what we go through, that he's like that part of God's humanity shows us that. And so Owen goes on to say that it is this merely quality of things that causes all the problem that we face. So let's get excited, friends. We are going to expect God to break into our world fresh, vibrant, and glorious. Let's expect God to break into our world again during this December. In the midst of all the chaos in the world, let us expect God. Thus, on this first Sunday of Advent, we wait and watch for the light, the true light. And we remember hope, the hope of Christ. And as I think of light, I'm reminded of the beginning. You know that scripture in Genesis? Genesis number 1? It says, we read there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. Amen. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So it goes on, verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So the first thing that God did, God's first creative word, came forth in light, in the midst of the primeval darkness. Light. Light is necessary for making God's creative works visible and life possible. But when we read Genesis, when we read this Genesis, we often think of physical darkness, don't we? God would be coming to this world. When God came and created the world at the very beginning, the first creative order of things was light. Because, friends, I would like to say that God, there's something wrong with my phone. Yes, wait, let me just see. I'm in. But I'll tighten it, and you know, my voice projects, so.
Pastor, you can take mine.
No, I think it's better. Is it better? Yes, good. I think the little thing, I'll have to look
at it. Yeah, the minute you move.
All right, Sam, just give me the hand, Mike.
No, Pastor, you take this.
No, it's too long to put it on.
No.
And so here, if I stand it,
so, to the same spot. Is that me, or is that better?
Switch it off.
Yes, I'm going to switch off this one. Now I'm wearing two, but as long as I don't, I'll hold this way. That's better. Good. And so we see God, and so I want to submit to you all that God does not like darkness. God is not big on the world being dark, because his first creative thing he did was to bring light into the world. God would bring light into this world so that there'd be no darkness. So what kind of darkness are we talking about? In Genesis, we see the physical darkness, right? We're talking about physical darkness. We could imagine that. The world was dark, right? And then the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the earth. And the Lord spoke it into his creative powers, let there be light. But there's another kind of darkness, and that is spiritual darkness. When God first created the earth, the entire universe, we see the story of physical darkness becoming light. But there is another kind of darkness in the world, and that darkness would come through sin. That darkness would come through sin and disobedience. That darkness would come to destroy the world. And now if we look at the Old Testament text, we see that the whole prophecy would begin as humanity begin to disobey God and to begin to sin against God, right? And friends, we're living in a world now where there's a lot of spiritual darkness. Wouldn't you agree? Ah, this is nothing new. The cycle has begun again. The cycle continues. And then, so the Lord, in his mercy, because the Lord would have created us, just as he did from the very beginning, would begin to send the prophets to speak to the people. Throughout the book of Judges, we see the people sinning over and over. There would be, one writer would say, there'd be sin and redemption. They would sin, God would send a judge, God would send the enemy to, to put them under heavy manners, as we would say in Jamaica. They would give them a lot of captivity and punishment, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and so on. And then they would cry out to God and cry out, and they would repent. And then God would send a judge, and that judge would come and rule for 10, 12 years, and there'd be peace and prosperity. And once they got comfortable with peace and prosperity, what would happen? They would begin to sin again. Humanity. The cycle of sin and redemption. And as that would went, so God would send the judges and then the kings. You know the story. God is trying to mold humanity into what God wants humanity to be. So that's what we see from Genesis. I'm giving you a quick synopsis of the Old Testament. You see the beginning, and then the people in slavery, the Exodus, and then them being free out of bondage, and then they had the rulers, you know, they had the judges. God is trying to mold them, but they still would be sinning and sinning. And even though God, you know, forgave them after they repented, we see all the judges, Gibeon, we see all the judges, Deborah, doing what God had called. And then God would put the kings over them. And it still would continue. And then the prophets would come. Jeremiah was a prophet who was sent when they were in exile. Right, they were in Babylonian exile. I hope I'm right. It's not Assyrian. I think Isaiah was Assyrian, but you all could fact check me, as they would say. Right, and so Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, speaks to a community that is acutely between this tension of sin and redemption, this tension of sin and forgiveness. Jeremiah comes, and Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And because he's weeping over the people, over Jerusalem, as they sin. And he is giving the word of God. He's telling them, you have to change. God is going to do this and God is going to do this. And they do not listen. Do you know what they did to Jeremiah? Does anybody know? They threw him in prison. They beat Jeremiah. Do you know that? They did not want to hear the word. And Jeremiah would prophesy for many years. Jeremiah prophesied under seven different kings. Seven different kings telling the people, turn from your wicked ways. Jeremiah, you know, when he came, it was completely devastated. Oh yes, it was Babylonian and invasion, because I do have it here in my notes. 587 BC. And the inhabitants of Israel had been scattered from their homeland, living as conquered people in the Babylonian captivity. They were living in exile. There was a sense that their security was violated. Things were bad. God sent the prophet, and he would send the prophet into exile with them. Right? To speak. You know, when we're in the midst of stuff, God will send hope right in the midst of where we are. Do you know God sends hope into the prisons? Through preachers and evangelists. Somebody to give the word. God sends hope into crack houses. And God sends hope into our own situation in the midst of it. And so the people are overwhelmed. They've done terrible things. And then God would send the weeping prophet Jeremiah. One could ask the question, where is God in the midst of the people suffering? Why did such devastation happen? Is God present in the exile with them? Will God allow them to return home again? What happened to the covenant with David? The covenant that he would never leave the people. What happened to that, one would ask? Is the grace of the covenant promises made long ago still operative for this generation and their children? The question could be asked. As we see that cycle of the people sinning, worshiping idol God, turning away from God. And then they turn back to God. And they reach out to God, and then God helped them. So Jeremiah the weeping prophet would prophesy. He would be beaten and he would prophesy change. Change from your wicked ways. You know, friends, there are prophecies going on now, you know, in this world. There are preachers who are preaching the word. Not every preacher preached the Bible. Not every preacher preached Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected. Not every preacher preached that. Some folks just preach the ball game. Or we preach a story, or they preach something else. But let me tell you, if you're going to a church and they're not preaching the word, you're going to the wrong place. Because the only thing that's going to save you is the word of God. The only thing that's going to save us is the word of God. No matter how cute I am, and today I'm kind of in my Advent cute outfit. Yeah. Doesn't matter how good looking I look. Doesn't matter how skinny I get. The only thing that matters is that I am preaching the word of God.
Amen.
When you look up, if you can't see me the next time because I'm half of me, doesn't matter. It is the word of God that is true and brings hope into your life. Right? And so I'm going to preach the word of God. That's the only word I know when I stand here is the word of God. And so the prophet Jeremiah comes with the promise. You see, God never leaves his people in exile forever. He never leaves us in the midst of our troubles forever. Do you know that, church? No matter what it is, he never leaves us in it. Yes, we may suffer. Yet we may go through. Yet whatever we lose may not come back. But the hope of Christ is always there. And so here it is, Jeremiah says these words from the Old Testament. He says, the days are merely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and in that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. In the midst of exile and captivity and debt and hardness, the word of the prophet goes forth. The one who is coming, the righteous one, that's one of the names of Jesus, is yet coming into the world to bring hope. The light of Christ is coming into the world. So we start this Advent Sunday being reminded of Jeremiah's word, that Jesus will come into the world.
Amen.
And my God, we don't want to run to Christmas Eve, but he did come, didn't he, for us. The light would come and it would pierce the darkness again. It would pierce that darkness again like it did at the beginning. He would come into the world just as it was prophesied. And as when it came into the world, things would change. You know, the Bible tells us that in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has... Darkness can never overcome Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It may try to permeate. It may try to do things, but it cannot. And where does spiritual darkness stand now for us? Where is it? Where does it reside? It resides in our heart. Spiritual darkness now resides in your heart and my heart. Darkness. We know that because the Bible tells us. It lives here. But guess what? There's hope for us. Isn't it? Because what else will reside in our heart when we receive Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior? He does. He brings light into our life. And so Jesus is going to remind them this day. He's going to let them know, he says in his word, we start in Luke, he says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, distress among the nation, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, and people will faint and stuff will happen. They are talking about the second coming, right? This world is continued to get dark until Christ will return, and when he returns the next time, he will be King of Kings. He is. He will be on his throne. He will no longer have to look for a manger. He will no longer have to sleep nowhere because he will come back here on earth on his throne because he will be reigning forever.
Hallelujah.
And ever. He will return yet. Every time I see the world getting dark and things so terrible, I says, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come now and put us out of our misery, Lord Jesus. Come now and take away the hurt and the pain and the sickness. Come now and take away the pain of cancer. Come now and take it away completely. Come now and heal your people forever. Come now, Lord Jesus, because you promised once and you did it and you'll do it again. Come, Jesus, come into our world. Well, there'll be no more weeping and no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be nothing else. That's my hope, because that he will come. He may come right now if he so chooses. Come today, right this minute, Lord Jesus. Come now into our world. Bring hope. And so we are reminded, Jesus tells us, he tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. His words will never pass away. The word of God will never pass away. It is yea and amen.
Amen.
It is Rhema word. It is forever. It stands forever and ever. Do not let anybody in this world confuse you. And the naysayers on TV or wherever they are, God's word stands forever and ever and ever. And you have to stand on it and be bold in Christ Jesus, our Lord, that he'll bring us through. It is the hope of Christ, the hope of those who believe. And then Jesus said, he says, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down. He's working on our hearts now. Do you see? Be on guard. Because if there's spiritual darkness, it's in our heart. The world is no longer physically dark. There may be parts of the world that has no light, you know, because, but the world is no longer physically dark because there's the sun and the moon and the stars. I just don't mean electricity. I think everywhere over the world there's sun, moon, and stars. Isn't there? All over the earth. Because remember, the next thing in Genesis is going to be the moon and the stars. So it's no longer physically dark. Right? There's light everywhere. Some of us have more light than others. We got a whole lot of light in here. Because light, but the spiritual darkness is now breeding in the hearts of men and women, of humanity. Spiritual darkness. And that's what the Lord is working on for all of us. He says, don't let your hearts be weighted down with drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day, and that the day comes and catch you unexpectedly. Friends, we who are Christian believers should always be what? Working on what? Our hearts. Following Christ. Do not let that day. Do you know he could come now? You see how much I'm begging him to come now? But he's not listening to me, and he should not, because he's God. No man knows the time, the hour, the minute, or the second when he shall come. He'll come when he's ready. Right? So he's going to come when he's ready, because next week I may not be ready. So it's going to come. But while we're waiting, we should what? Pray. That's what the word says. Be alert. Watch. Watch for him. How do we watch? Do we just stand and don't do anything and watch? No, we watch spiritually. We watch for the Lord to come this Advent season. He says, be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So we who are Christian believers, as we are enjoying this season of Advent and Christmas, we must be alert. Wouldn't it be something if Christ showed up on December 25th? Wouldn't that be something? If the second coming was on December 25th, that Christ would return, it may just happen. So let's be alert, because we don't know if he's going to come when we're eating the dinner downstairs. We don't know if he's going to come as we are eating the turkey, whatever we're having. You know what I'm saying. We don't know if he's going to come as we are walking downstairs. So we must be alert, friends, and expect him. I come as a modern day prophet to tell you, I know you're not going to beat me like they beat Jeremiah. Right? You may tune me out, but you may not beat me. But I'm telling them, talking loud enough. Welcome Jesus in your heart. Seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added unto you. Seek Christ and his righteousness. And even in the business of Christmas, we should seek him. So be alert and wait. The light is in the world, and the light will come again to save the world. God will never leave us or forsake us. We may have to go through hard times, trials and tribulation, but God will never leave his people. He will always send a ram in the bush or a branch of Jesse. He'll always send something or someone And this morning we read in Matthew, as I close, we had an imagery of God as a hen. The scripture said this morning in our Bible study, he's like a hen who gathered his chicks under his wings to protect us and to keep us. So as I close, friends, I want you to say some words after me. I don't know people's life, if they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't know what you've said. If we've said yes, let's not always think because we've been in church for 50 years, we know Jesus. And the person who just walks in doesn't know Jesus. It's not true. It is not longevity that does it. It's a heart that is what? That has said yes to Christ. And so will you just close your eyes for 1 minute, everybody where you are, and just simple words, say after me, please. Lord Jesus, come.
Lord Jesus, come.
Come in my heart.
Come in my heart.
Come now.
Come now.
Come again.
Come again.
Amen.
Amen.
As we welcome it into our hearts, to come now. If we have never said that, and if we said it before, to come again. Come into our hearts. Work in us. Work through us. So that we can be ready to see him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.